Well, it's really interesting when you talk to people or listen to people, how many people who take psychedelics have cartoon-like encounters with beings or, you know, and you say, well, gee, this is weird. Cartoons only go back to 1920 or 15 or something. How weird that such an out there technical phenomenon could just grab a whole section of human psychology and camp there with that kind of tenacity. And to me, that indicates it has some kind of archetypal claim on that territory, and a claim which it can only continue to tighten over time.
You ever seen that Scott McCloud book, Understanding Comics?
No.
Oh, that's worthwhile.
Is that a good
one? It's really worthwhile. Very good. Yeah. I mean, it's just sort of getting at a grammar. You know, a lot of cartoons disagree, and they're a very irascible lot, and a lot of comic people are like, no, it's shit. But it's a very interesting attempt to use the form itself to talk about the specifics of the form. I mean, it's really about comic art, but it applies to some of these issues of animation and cartooning.
Well, the great genius of Disney, I mean, Disney is my idea beyond Edison or Ford or anybody of what we really mean by an American genius, because he, you know, he had mice who wear gloves living inside his head, but he was able to create a mechanical technology to show people these mice. So instead of just being put quietly away by his brother or something like that, he said, no, no, you don't understand. Money. This is worth money. If we can show people these glove-wearing mice and talking ducks and all this stuff. And then he was sufficiently a true American Yankee genius that he saw how to take a flip book and put it on celluloid and do all that. Yeah, I think Disney is a very, very far out person. I mean, he went to the Platonic ideas and came back with, you know, baskets full of them and released them in American towns and cities and did very well.